The United States Capitol Police is stronger and better prepared to carry out its mission today than it was before January 6th of last year.
Securing a grim anniversary on Capitol Hill. It's Thursday, January 6th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, COVID-19 hospital admissions in Australia on the rise, criticism for Washington's lack of COVID-19 tests, the benefits of the world's largest and newest Asian trade deal, India begins vaccinating adolescents, and North Korea rings in the new year with a missile test. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The first anniversary of the January 6th Capitol riots will be remembered in Washington today, beginning with remarks by U.S. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Members of the House will also hold a period of prayer and silence at noon to remember the 140 Capitol Hill police officers who suffered injuries in the melee. Four police officers involved on site that day later died by suicide. Ahead of today's anniversary, United States Capitol Police Chief Thomas Magin told reporters that the past year has brought additional security changes at the Capitol building and campus, from hardened doors and windows to daily intelligence blasts to each and every Capitol Police officer.
The department began significant work immediately after the 6th to fix the failures that occurred. Intelligence failures, operational planning failures, leadership failures. The one thing that did not fail that day was the courage and resolve of the men and women of the United States Capitol Police. For the past year, our focus has been implementing improvements that would provide our officers with the resources that they need to fulfill their responsibilities safely and effectively.
Three police officers also filed lawsuits against former President Donald Trump Tuesday, alleging he aided and abetted the assaults against them. Trump had planned to hold a 5 p.m. press conference from his home in Florida, but canceled Tuesday evening. He will hold a rally later this month. More than 700 people in all have been arrested in last year's January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol. Supporters of protesters being held in a D.C. jail in connection with the attack will hold a candlelight vigil later today. And U.S. Capitol Police Chief Thomas Magin says his force will be watching.
There's no intelligence that indicates that there would be any problems. There's one event that is occurring, I think, down at the D.C. jail that we're paying attention to. But again, really nothing that is of great concern to us at this point.
A year after supporters of former President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol in a bid to overturn Joe Biden's 2020 election victory, hundreds of people are still awaiting trial for their alleged role in the riot, while 155 others have pleaded guilty. As VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, the pending cases are just one part of the effort to hold responsible parties accountable for the attack.
1 year later, there are still questions about the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol and who was ultimately responsible for the worst attack on the seat of Congress in two centuries. Many of former President Trump's supporters claim the breach was not serious, while critics say Trump directed his supporters to overturn Joe Biden's election victory, effectively undermining the democratic process. Rioters roamed the halls of the Capitol building, raising security concerns for lawmakers and staffers who were preparing to certify Biden's election victory.
I'll never forgive former President of the United States and his lackeys and his bullies that he sent to the Capitol for the trauma that was exerted on our staff.
The U.S. House of Representatives moved swiftly to impeach Trump just days after the riot, alleging he was guilty of inciting the insurrection. But the U.S. Senate acquitted the former president of that charge in February 2021.
He is hereby acquitted.
Lawmakers have held numerous hearings on the security failures of that day. In late June, the U.S. House formed a special select committee to investigate the actions of then-President Trump. The panel has issued subpoenas to compel former White House officials and Trump campaign staff to testify about the president's actions that day and the days leading up to the attack.
Find Mark Randall Meadows in contempt of Congress.
The committee is expected to release a report on its investigation before the November 2022 midterm elections, but the findings are not legally binding. In the U.S. courts, 704 individuals have been charged at the federal level with offenses ranging from misdemeanor trespassing charges to more serious charges, including violence against law enforcement and members of the media. Researchers estimate about 70 to 80 individuals involved in militant networks face even more serious charges of conspiracy.
These are the hierarchical domestic violent extremist groups, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, some 3%ers mixed in there, who are alleged to have not just gone to the Capitol to see the speech, to protest, to march, but with a concerted conspiracy ranging from the collection of funds, the dispersal of weapons, of marching up the steps of the Capitol in a stack formation, to leaving guns at a Virginia hotel.
Five people present at the January 6 riot died. The question still being debated is whether the chaos developed spontaneously or was part of a planned insurrection directed by the then President of the United States. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Hong Kong bans flights, imposes other COVID-19 restrictions. More than a dozen killed in Chinese construction site landslide. Man who crossed DMZ was previous defector from North Korea, South says. First Cambodian-American mayor in U.S. takes office. And suspected militant accused of beheadings killed in Indonesia. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. New coronavirus cases in Australia surged to record levels Wednesday, increasing the strain on hospitals and testing centers across the country. In Melbourne, the line outside one testing center extended for blocks. This is Jeroen Wymar, Victoria State COVID-19 Response Commander.
We need to continue to work together as a community. The public health measures we have around wearing masks indoors, around doing as much of our activity as possible outside, and just being careful about the interaction we have with people in closed spaces will help us to slow down the rapid rate of transmission we're seeing at this point in time. We need to do that because the number of cases that we expect to see in hospitals have already increased significantly over the last 10 days, and we expect to see those trends continue. So the more that we can reduce down that rate of transmission, the more we can get Victorians vaccinated, the better we will be in terms of managing our healthcare system.
The new numbers mean Australia has passed the grim milestone of 500,000 COVID-19 cases. From Sydney, VOA's Phil Mercer reports.
This is the first time that daily COVID-19 case numbers have exceeded 50,000 in Australia. The most populous state, New South Wales, recorded 35,000 new infections on Wednesday. Neighbouring Victoria reported 17,636 new cases, most are caused by the Omicron variant. Health authorities believe that case numbers will continue to increase in the weeks to come and will plateau in February. In Queensland, health officials warned that infections would surge, certainly into the hundreds of thousands. Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk said in most of the cases, symptoms were mild and people were recovering very, very quickly. Testing clinics have been unable to cope with the huge demand for screening, and rapid antigen tests are in short supply. Hospitalisations are increasing in parts of Australia, but officials believe most patients in intensive care units have the Delta variant. Susan Pearce, Deputy Secretary of the New South Wales Health Department, says demands on the hospital system will grow.
We expect for the next several weeks that we will see that pressure We also expect, though, that once it starts to decline, it will likely decline quite quickly. But we have got some challenging weeks ahead of us. Everything that can be done to support our staff will be done as we work through this. What we've demonstrated during the course of this pandemic now for 2 years is that our health system is capable of almost anything.
Despite the surge, theatres in Sydney and Melbourne are declaring on with the show and reopening. An international cricket match between Australia and England in Sydney attracted thousands of spectators. In total, about 550,000 COVID-19 infections have been diagnosed in Australia since the pandemic began. 2,282 people have died. Australia's political leaders have said that the country's best defence against rising coronavirus cases is high vaccination levels. More than 91% of the population over age 16 is fully inoculated. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
19 people from China's Uyghur Muslim ethnic group filed a criminal complaint with a Turkish prosecutor on Tuesday against Chinese officials, accusing them of committing genocide, torture, rape and crimes against humanity. Uyghur activist Medin Nazimi.
My sister, in 2017, by the Chinese government, taken away to my sister for the in concentration camps. Until now, I don't get any information about her. And I am also a Turkish citizen, and me and my sister is Turkish citizen, so I want my government to rescue my sister, because my sister is innocent.
China initially denied the camps existed, but has since said they are vocational centers and are designed to combat extremism. Still ahead on VOA Asia, criticism for a lack of COVID-19 tests across the United States. Happening now in Asia, a landslide at a construction site in southwestern China has killed at least 14 people and injured 3 others. Official reports say the cause of the landslide on Monday evening is under investigation. Workers were building a training facility for a hospital. More than 1,000 people joined the overnight rescue effort. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've joined us here on VOA Asia. President Joe Biden addressed the American public on Tuesday on his administration's response to the Omicron variant as COVID-19 cases in the U.S. continue surging to record levels following the holidays. From Washington, VOA's Patsy Wodecaswara reports.
Residents of Washington, D.C. turned out for a snowball fight earlier this week, a sign of normalcy in a winter marked by soaring COVID-19 cases in the United States yet again. Fueled by the Omicron variant, on Monday, the nation's coronavirus cases reached a world record of 1 million detected in 24 hours, according to a report by the Johns Hopkins University.
Today, I'm directing my team to work with Pfizer to double our order from 10 million to 20 million treatment courses to be delivered in the months ahead.
On Tuesday, President Joe Biden outlined his administration strategy to address Omicron. In addition to buying more Pfizer COVID-19 pills, he promised to make booster shots and testing more widely available. With Americans having to wait in long lines to get tested, Biden has been blamed for delays and shortages. His administration has not given details on the distribution of the promised 500 million free at-home test kits. Testing is considered key to limit Omicron spread and reduce hospitalization.
We can't do very much about inhibiting the spread of this extraordinarily contagious virus. And if it only produces mild disease, we could, if you will, quote, tolerate that while we try to continue to prevent these hospitalizations.
More evidence is emerging that Omicron causes milder symptoms than previous variants, in some places resulting in lower death rates despite soaring case numbers.
We are seeing more and more studies pointing out that Omicron is infecting the upper part of the body. Unlike other ones, the lung, who has been causing severe pneumonia. It can be a good news, but we really require more studies to prove that.
The U.S. has donated more than 315 million vaccine doses globally, while pledging a total of 1.2 billion doses. Yet some health experts say wealthy nations are not doing enough to vaccinate the world and prevent the emergence of new variants.
until we redouble our commitment to vaccinate the African continent, Southeast Asia, and Latin America, we're always going to have this problem. And that's what has to be prioritized. And so far, neither the U.S. government or the G7 countries have really made that commitment.
On Monday, U.S. health authorities approved Pfizer's booster shot for children as young as 12, with a final approval expected in the coming days. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
You can read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
Happening now in Asia. The China-Laos Railway has already handled about 670,000 passengers and 170,000 tons of cargo since entering operation just 1 month ago. The China-Laos Railway is the first overseas railway jointly constructed and operated by the two countries. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, which just took effect on January 1st, is now set to bring a whole new set of new preferential customs policies and greatly boost trade between the partners. China's crane manufacturing giant, Shanghai Zhenhua Heavy Industry, says it is particularly well-positioned to benefit because it sends $1.3 billion worth of heavy machinery to 105 countries and regions every year, including many members of the new deal. Yu Bin is a deputy general manager at the company.
Singapore is a very big client for us. They buy dozens of machines from us every year. South Korea, Indonesia, and Myanmar are also our clients. Together, their orders account for 30% of our exports. And after the RCEP takes effect, our products will have more price advantages in the member countries, as buyers will have lower tariffs when buying our products.
And the new agreement is also bringing more convenient ways of handling the proof of origin documents that all national customs require. Another option for those who choose it is called self-certification. It allows approved exporters with a good record to complete their own formalities for authorized goods. Zhang Zheng is the section chief of the Division of Duty Collection of Shanghai Customs.
Previously, the authorized self-certification regime usually only applied to free trade agreements on a much smaller scale. But with the RCEP going into effect, that will first be expanded to 10 countries in the RCEP agreement, including six ASEAN countries, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand.
The 15-nation free trade agreement has created the world's largest free trade bloc. The agreement is indeed bringing lower tariffs under which more than 90% of the trade in goods will eventually be tariff-free at the end of 20 years. Yu Bin says it will change the way Shanghai Zhenhua Heavy Industry does business.
Previously, 60% of our imported components were from European countries in the U.S. But after the RCEP takes effect, we intend to import more components like steel wire, rope, and electronic control systems from countries like Japan and Indonesia to lower our production costs. Products there are very competitive in quality, so it should raise our product quality.
Making headlines in Asia. Indonesian security forces killed a suspected militant with ties to the Islamic State group in a shootout on Tuesday. 4 months ago, security forces killed two militants in a jungle shootout, including the leader of the East Indonesian Mujahideen Network, who was one of the country's most wanted militants. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia. India has expanded its vaccination drive for COVID-19 to teenagers from 15 to 18 years of age. The push comes as the country braces for a third wave driven by the Omicron variant, and Indian cities impose fresh restrictions. Anjana Pasricha reports from New Delhi.
There was enthusiasm and a sense of relief as India began vaccinating teenagers, 15 to 18-year-olds, for COVID-19 this week.
I feel confident that with the vaccine, I feel I can go out. When I went to school, I used to feel so scared that I may fall sick and carry the infection to my parents and neighborhood.
The inoculation drive for youngsters began amid an exponential jump in COVID-19 cases in mega cities like Delhi and Mumbai. The looming third wave of the pandemic due to the Omicron variant has created fresh anxieties in a country where school closures lasted for nearly a year and a half, longer than in much of the world. But just months after resuming in-person classes, schools have again shut.
Online school, it gets lonely and all, so schools being in person is always much more fun and everything, so I'm looking forward to it when it's safe.
Calls have been growing to protect youngsters in a country with the largest adolescent population in the world. Two-thirds of India's adults have been fully vaccinated, while 90% have received one jab.
Sooner or later, a wider population need to be vaccinated, especially in a context like India, where adults constitute only 63% of the total population, unlike some other countries such as Europe and other settings where adults are around 80% of population.
The ramped-up vaccinations are raising hopes that India will not experience the devastation triggered by the Delta variant last year, when hospitals were overwhelmed and there were crippling shortages of oxygen. At that time, much of the country was not vaccinated. This time, experts expect less pressure on medical services.
Unlike Delta wave, where high proportion of individuals who were detected to have infection would require hospitalization, oxygen, ICU, etc. In Omicron, with the current evidence, it says that infection is mostly mild and severe disease is mostly linked to the pre-existing high-risk condition or unvaccinated individual.
That's raising hopes among some students yearning to get back to a semblance of normalcy.
I was bored sitting at home. It was really nice when we went back to school, and it was so difficult to study at home.
I want schools to reopen so that I can again get back into the habit of studying.
In India, school closures due to the pandemic have affected nearly 200 million children. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
North Korea launched a suspected ballistic missile Wednesday, South Korea and Japan have reported. It is Pyongyang's first weapons test of the new year. VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
North Korea welcomed the new year with a missile launch. Japanese officials say it traveled for 500 kilometers before splashing into the sea off Korea's east coast. The North has frequently tested short-range ballistic missiles since mid-2019. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida called the launches truly regrettable in comments to reporters. The test comes just days after North Korean leader Kim Jong-un delivered an end-of-year speech where he pledged to continue bolstering national defenses to deal with an unstable international situation. But most of the speech focused on Kim's plans to jumpstart his country's economy. It contained none of the usual bombastic rhetoric or threats toward the United States. Mason Ritchie is a professor at Seoul's Hankuk University of Foreign Studies.
Clearly, they're broadcasting a sense of self-reliance and continuing to remain inwardly turned in some way. And then to follow that up with a missile launch is a sort of classic kind of cognitive dissonance move that they tend to pull off.
North Korea likely has additional motivations for such a launch, including shoring up domestic political support, testing key new technologies, and demonstrating deterrence against the United States and its allies. North Korea has not conducted an intercontinental ballistic missile test or nuclear test since 2017. Such a move would presumably risk a firmer response by the United States. North Korea is prohibited from any ballistic missile activity, including launches of any range, by a series of United Nations Security Council resolutions. But since 2019, the U.S. has downplayed the North's short-range launches, presumably in an attempt to preserve the possibility for future talks. North Korea has ignored repeated offers by the U.S. to restart negotiations, saying Washington must first drop its hostile policy. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Chinese President Xi Jinping inspected the preparations for the 2022 Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games in Beijing this week. Beijing is preparing additional safety protocols for its airports to receive the Olympic athletes for next month's Winter Games. Competitors must make a health declaration to get their temperatures taken upon arrival. They also give a sample for a nucleic acid test. The athletes will remain in what's called a closed-loop management system throughout their stay in China. That is where they can move freely in a designated area in downtown Beijing, as well as between Olympic venues and facilities in dedicated vehicles. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.